Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Guy Tardy from Domaine Jean Tardy and Sons. How are you, Guy?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. What we're going to talk about today is I want to talk a wee bit about the winery here, where you've got your vineyards. You're in the process of taking over from your father, who seems to be just bossing you around now. Is that about right?
Yeah, it's not that easy, but we sort it out, and now it's almost done.
Yeah. So we'll talk a wee bit about that, and also a wee bit about inheritance and all that sort of stuff, and how you've acquired some vineyards in the past. But do you want to just give us a quick overview about where we are in Burgundy and what sort of vineyards you guys have at the moment?
Okay, so we are in Vendromanée, one of the most famous villages in Burgundy, well known for the domain Romanée-Conti. And so the history of the domain. My grandfather started just as a simple worker for domaine Méo-Camuset just after the World War. And my father took over the vineyard he has as a rent in 66. So my father started with no vineyards, and years after years, he started to buy vineyards after vineyard, small bit by small bit, and now we've got our own small 4.5 hectares domain. Our wines, our vineyards are just located in the Côte de Nuit, so we start in north with Fissin, then Gevrey-Chambertin, Chambol-Musigny, Vaune-Romanée, Nuit-Saint-Georges, a little bit of Haute Côte de Nuit red, and some Echezo and some Nuit Saint-Georges Premier Cru aux Argillas.
4.5 hectares, though, that's not a lot, but quite typical for Burgundy, isn't it?
In Burgundy, the average size of the domains are around 4 and 5 hectares. It's most of the time family business, the father working with the sons and with the great sons for the grandfathers as well.
Something that Jane, you guys know Jane Scott, my wife, pointed out to me was that technically you're not called Jean Tardy and Sons, it's Jean Tardy
Et Fils in French.
Yeah, which means and son. And you see it on a lot of domains in Burgundy, don't you? I was driving up and down and I saw it all over the place.
Yeah, most of the domains are with the son, so it's always called father and son. Like we could say domain Jean Tardy, father and son as well.
Generally, the wineries here, family affairs?
Most of the times, each domains get the name. We keep the name of the man who created the domains. Sometimes if you've got some other names than the name of the owner, it means these people are renting the domains, are not the owners, yeah.
And have you always had 4.5 hectares since you're a little boy, or has it grown?
The thing is that, as I told you, my father started as a métayer from domaine Méo-Camuset. So métayer is when you share the crop at the harvest, or you make the wines for the owner, and then he keep one half of the wine and you keep the other half for selling. If you want, my father started with just 3 hectares from Méo-Camuset. Then he bought own vineyards years after years. And so in 2007, we had like 6 hectares. In total, but after 2007 vintage, we had to give back the vineyards to domaine Méo-Camuset because the contract were finished, and that's why we dropped down the quantity to 4.5 hectares.
Your father, Jean, he's about to retire, or he's, well, I don't know if he's about to retire. He doesn't look like he's ready to. He should be. But he obviously likes to keep a hand in it. But you've got a brother as well. So what happens, you know, are you going to take over the whole lot, or how's that going to happen?
If you want to start with my father is 72 years old, but has because he started working when he was 13 years old, he can not really stop, so he's always giving the hand in the vineyards or in the winery, and that's all his life. And yes, I've got one brother, but he's working in Paris and he's not in the wine business. And so what we will do is I will inherit each from one part of the domain, and the other part I bought it, and so I have to pay every year to be the owner of the old domain.
Okay, so the vineyard is going to be carved up into half, and you're going to rent the other half or buy the other half from your brother.
Yeah, that's it. If you want, at the end, my brother got 30%. He inherited 30%, me 30%, and I bought 40% to my parents. At the end, if I want to get the totality of the domain, I will still have to buy 30% to my brother.
That's not now, is it? That's just what you're planning to do?
No, we have already done it because it's always better to do the donations during the life of your parents because it's always cheaper and you can save some money. If we wait the death of the parents, then we will have to pay a lot more money to get what we already got.
So you've got a lot of inheritance tax situations?
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. And because my father has done the big donation before he was 65 years old, he had a lot of discount, if you want. And the rest, I bought it in the same time. Like this, we will not have to pay. Otherwise, if we waited, we would have to pay more than double. And then when you don't have a lot of money, you must sell some vineyards to be able to get everything.
Yeah. No, so it's quite hard, isn't it? Burgundy is notorious for being carved up into lots of small pieces due to the inheritance laws associated mainly with Napoleon. Mm-hmm. Is that still the case? You know, did your father need to give an equal share to your brother, or was it something that he wanted to do?
We need to give the same things to each children, but because me, I'm working with the vineyards. We said it was normal that I got more vineyards and more part of the estate than my brother, but it's not allowed, and we don't want to give less to my brother. So what we did is that in the same times, my parents bought some small flats or houses. My brother will get those flats, and me, I will get more of the domain.
So is it still a requirement to split the holdings 50-50?
You have to.
You have to. So even if you had a son that you loathed, who you absolutely, not that it's your situation, someone you really hated, you didn't want to give them anything, you'd still have to give them half?
Yeah, you still have to.
Okay. And is that still affecting Burgundy in a big way? Are you finding that the domains are still getting carved up smaller and smaller?
Yes, because when you've got two children like us, it's not a big matter, and we get on very well with my brother. But in many situations, we can see some domains cut in half or in three pieces or four pieces because the children don't get on really well and each one get their money. So then you can see disappear some domains generations after generations.
Is there any moves in France to change this? 4.5 hectares in most countries isn't really profitable. In Burgundy, it's not so bad because the wines are so bloody expensive.
It's a little bit more expensive than in some other places.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing is that in Burgundy, you cannot replant vineyards like in Australia or New Zealand or South Africa. In Burgundy, you're not allowed to replant more vineyards than the existing vineyards. So if you want to get bigger, you need to buy new vineyards, not just land. Because if you buy a land and then you plant on it, it doesn't cost too much. It costs, but less, a lot less. But here in Burgundy, if you want to buy a village, it costs... Cost you one arm, and if you want the premier cru, it costs you two arms.
So you think there's going to still be a continuing fracturing of vineyards in Burgundy, but it doesn't seem to affect Bordeaux as much. Do you know why that might be?
The thing is that in Burgundy, it's family business, and in Bordeaux, it's more just big business. And in Burgundy, many people are not aware to do the same protection to keep all the vineyards in the same family. For example, in Bordeaux, they will have some shares, and if one partner or one son want to get out of the château, then he just have to sell his shares. But in Burgundy, there's many domains, they don't do this. If you want, they own all the vineyards, but there is no shares. So the people who are in the domain, if they want to get to sell their part, it's not shares. They will sell one vineyard or another vineyard. But here, with my father, what we did here to protect the domain, we did the same kind of things like in Bordeaux, if you want, but more for small family, is that we created an estate just for the domain, so for the winemaking and the sales, and another estate just for the vineyards. And this vineyard, we've got a contract with the domain for 99 years. So it means if one day one of the children is not agree or fight with the other brother, or if maybe he can get married with a bad girl, you know, we don't know, to avoid the vineyards get away, we've got this protection, and no one can sell the vineyard for 99 years. And this small estate created just for the domain, for the vines, is with shares. So it means if you want to sell your shares, you can. Nobody will buy it because it's small quantity, and they will not get enough money from that by the renting to the domain.
Okay, so you've actually almost like a poison pill, isn't it? It's to stop the domain being carved up.
Yeah.
You've almost gone to that Bordeaux model. Is that starting to become more common in Burgundy?
People who want to keep the domains, and people who think for the future, many people do like this now, because we saw too many sad stories with fighting between the children and people asking, I need my money, so we must sell the vineyard, and I want to get away with the money. And that's how you can see the vineyard going away or going to foreigners, because that's the other matter in Burgundy, is that the vineyards are very expensive, but because a lot of people loves Burgundy and like foreigners, they want to invest into Burgundy, so the prices are rising up every year. And so for young winemakers like us, it's very difficult to get new vineyards, or almost impossible if you don't have enough vineyards which will supply you some money. You will never be able to buy new vineyards. But there is a very good organization in France, which called La Safer. It's from the government, and this
La Safer. Isn't that French for some other day, or don't worry about it sort of thing?
No, it's not. It's not laissez-faire. Laissez-faire, it's let it go.
Let it go.
No, it's la affaire. And it's like for the agriculture or viticulture. And these people, to help young producers or small domain to be able to buy new vineyards, we say preemption, you know this? No? So the thing is that... Preemption.
Okay.
It's when people wants to sell... one domain, La Safer, look at the price, the selling price, and if it's too expensive, they say, okay, we stop, we block the sales, and we buy you the domain or the vineyard at the normal price, and then we will resell it to people who deserve it. So then when we hear that La Safer will sell a vineyard, like I got last year, Nuit Saint-Georges, Premier Cru, Ozargia, you must fill a file. And then the SAFER will analyze all the different files and say, okay, this man deserves more than another, and we will sell it to him. And the things to deserving the vineyard, you must be a young winemaker. The first thing is, if you are a young winemaker, so it means less than 10 years winemaker. 10 years long. Then if you lost some vineyards in the last 10 years, that's the main things. Actually,
doesn't that open things up to corruption if you're selling a vineyard at maybe below what the seller really wants? Doesn't that mean that it becomes bureaucracy, and then someone has the ability to decide whether you get something you really want, and that makes things quite open to corruption?
Not for corruption, but the things we can see with this kind of thing, this kind of association, is that if, for example, these people say you cannot sell your Nuit Saint-Georges vineyards less than 300,000 euro. If you want more, you can arrange with the buyer, and you could say, okay, I give you more, but I give you some cash, and then I pay. But that's the matter we can see. But most of the time, La Safer always check and always say we should do like this or like that.
How many times have you managed to acquire vineyards this way?
Me, I'm very lucky because I got my first vineyard in 1999 with La Safer, the Von Romane village living here. And then in 2007, I've got the Gevrey-Chambertin Champerrier. And in 2010, I got the Nuit Saint-Georges Premier Cru aux Argillas. But the thing is that I'm still a young winemaker because I started in 2003. So I've got the priority. And then we lost the 2.5 hectares of Premier Cru and Grand Cru from Meaux Camuset in 2007. La Saffaire is taking care about us because they know we do a lot of efforts to give good care to the vineyards and try to improve the quality always. They believe in us and they allowed me to buy these three vineyards, which is very good. Otherwise, I I've never been able to buy these kinds of vineyards as the Premier Cru, because when you hear that there's a Premier Cru on sales, you always listen too late and it's already sold.
And is it easy getting money from banks to buy vineyards? I presume you're not paying cash for these things.
It depends. If you get a good cash flow, they will lend you money without any troubles. But if it's a bit tight, they will not.
No, that sounds good. All right, Guillaume, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.